I'd like to have our attention drawn to the Word of God in Genesis chapter 9. I'd like to read for you beginning with verse 11. Genesis 9. I establish my covenant with you, the Lord said. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'd like to just highlight by way of a footnote the sermon that we've already had by drawing our attention to two, I think, wonderful lessons that were there in the cantata, but you might have missed them, or at least not give them the attention that they deserve. And the first of them has to do with why God chose Noah for this special mission. And the second has to do with the symbolism of the rainbow. The first, why God chose Noah. It was not that Noah was perfect. Instead, the Bible, in fact, describes him as having found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was the beneficiary of God's undeserved mercy and kindness. But it also describes him not only as morally upright in a generation that was not, but as someone who walked with God. That's a remarkable description. Noah walked with God. He's not the only individual in the Bible. It's not the only place in the Bible where we read about walking with God. Jesus promises in the book of Revelation that the day is coming and in the next life, where those who are faithful and have put their trust in Him, we will walk with God. In fact, we'll be dressed in white as we walk with Him. But it isn't a privilege that's just reserved for eternity. Already in this life, you can walk with God, even as Noah did. And what is particularly emphasized in that description? Well, it isn't something you just reduce to having a few minutes of devotions during the day. Sometimes people talk about a walk with God and they're referring to their time of prayer and Bible reading. No, it's a way of describing a life of communion with God, a personal fellowship with God, where we're in relationship with Him. Christianity is not just a religion, it's a relationship, a personal relationship with God, where we walk with Him. And if we're walking with Him, that means we're going in the same direction with Him. And it also means that we do not walk alone. If we walk with Him, He walks with us. And He walks with us even in situations that you can hardly fathom, terrible times of adversity and testing. In the Psalms, in Psalm 23, we read that promise that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is with us as we walk in those very difficult places. Have you experienced that kind of intimate fellowship with God? That's what's been offered us in Scripture. That's what Jesus came to accomplish. Earlier this morning, I received an email from a dear brother, Steve Slotemaker. Some of you will remember Steve and Bridget. They were a part of this fellowship, friends to many in the congregation, and they've since moved to Portland, Oregon. And some weeks ago, we received word that Bridget, a young mother, pregnant in her 20th week, had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. In the email this morning, Steve shares with me and the others that are on his email list how it was that Bridget discovered this. At first, she thought she was having a gallbladder issue and anyway went in to see the doctors. She was by herself, he says. Bridget went into the hospital on May 5th to have The doctors check out the pain in her chest and other irregularities. During that visit, she was informed that her gallbladder was, in fact, inflamed, but her liver also had some lesions which were not good. Bridget was alone at the hospital when she received this news, at least alone, humanly speaking, and knew that the outlook was not good. After being told, Bridget walked down the hospital hall and saw a framed quotation on the wall. It said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." It's a passage, of course, right out of the book of Isaiah. It's God's promise to be with us no matter what, if we belong to Him. On the way out of the hospital on Friday, that was back on May 5th, on Friday, as she was leaving after having some surgery to relieve the pain in her cancerous liver, Bridget pointed out this frame quote to me and her brother, telling us that she read it on Monday, May 5th, and has never felt her Lord and Savior leave her side. She's radiant in her faith. Others have asked, "What can we do for you?" And Steve will tell them, "Consider having a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what you can do for us." Noah walked with God. Are you walking with God? The second lesson I want to draw our attention to is in the symbolism of the rainbow. Of course, rainbows are just stunningly beautiful. They're intrinsically interesting. It's not at all surprising that they show up in all kinds of situations, in art and music and theater, Wizard of Oz, as we were reminded, in commercial use in everyday life. Very often, it turns out, of course, that the reason for the importance and prominence of the rainbow, in fact, goes back to this text. Already back in the 16th century, in the German Peasants' Revolt in 1525, led by one of the radical reformers in the early Protestant movement, a man named Thomas Münzer, when the peasants revolted against the upper classes, against the privileged landowners and princes, they were rallying around a flag that had on it a rainbow. And the rainbow was used in that circumstance as a sign, a hopeful sign, that this was the beginning of a new age of peace somehow or other. God would be bringing about between the classes. Well, of course, it didn't come about, but it was the aspiration. Those of us who are a little older will remember back in the 60s, the prominence of the rainbow that was plastered all over the place. People were wearing it on badges. It was bumper stickers. It was found on poster boards and flags as a sign of peace, as a sign of the anti-war movement, an expression of the desire to be free of war and strife between the nations. After Vietnam, it then was adopted by the civil rights movement as a sign of peace between the races, that at last we could be done with prejudice and the kinds of abuse against civil rights, social injustice, and of course adopted by Jesse Jackson in the Rainbow Coalition. And of course there is some aptness in the symbolism of unity and diversity, the beauty of the rainbow. But the real reason, of course, for its use as the civil rights the movement adopted it, those of religious background, again, goes back to this text. It's a reminder that we can have peace with one another, that the barriers that divide mankind can come down because of the peace that we have with God. It's a reminder of our indebtedness to God's own grace and mercy. In this life, whenever the rainbow appears in the cloud, God promises no longer will He judge the earth. It's not that there are no more problems. In fact, the rainbow really symbolizes, when you wear it as a badge or remind yourself of it or see it in the sky, that you and I are not getting what we deserve. It's a reminder that not that now God's people would be free from their earlier proclivities to violence and flagrant immorality, which is what provoked the flood. No, in fact, God makes it absolutely clear that they're not going to be free from it. After the flood, the Lord says that even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, nevertheless, never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done, as long as the earth remains. A final day of judgment is coming, but in this life, God is forbearing and patient with us and merciful and not treating us as our sins deserve, as we were reminded in the call to worship. That He is kinder to us than we have any right to expect. And though we fail Him frequently and often fall short of His righteous law, His demands to love Him and to love our neighbor, nevertheless, He is forbearing with us and compassionate and gracious. If God treats us that way, if we have peace with God and if He overlooks our sin in this life as He blesses us in spite of our just deserts, how should we treat one another? The Bible reminds us that we ought to love even as we've been loved. Jesus said, "I tell you, love your enemies." That's the message of the rainbow. Just as God has loved His, we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And of course, it's the admixture of sun and rain where we get the rainbow. God blesses mankind universally with His goodness, with the good gifts of life, not in order to mislead us as if He didn't care about the moral quality of our lives, but to be patient with us that we might come to repentance. We love because He first loved us. And so Jesus said, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." He said, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you." That's the message of the rainbow. May our lives be living rainbows, living reminders of how much we've been loved, so we may love one another. Let's respond by singing the hymn of response, "Amazing Grace." Would you please stand and join me?